Let me read for us Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 41 down to 47, just to remind you, these verses, I'm sure, becoming really common in our minds. So if you've got your Bibles, if you can grab them and open them up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And as Carly has started us today thinking about, we're thinking about what it is to be those who are devoted to prayer. And I've said it before when I've preached sermons on prayer, that guilt is a really terrible motivator when it comes to prayer. Praying because you feel guilty is a terrible motivator. If you leave here today feeling guilty because you don't pray enough, then it might help you to pray more Monday and Tuesday if you're having a good week. But I would guess by Wednesday, you'll be right back where you started, because guilt is a terrible motivator. And so it is, I say right up front, it is not at all my heart this morning to leave us feeling as if, oh, I wish I prayed more. I wish I was more devoted to prayer in a guilty way. Instead, what I want is to see that this devotion to prayer and this desire to increase our devotion to prayer is something that we all share as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you see, that feeling in us that longs for greater communion with God, that feeling in us that longs for greater time with God, that feeling within us that longs to spend more time in his presence and in prayer is the urging of the Holy Spirit within us. It's the urging of the Spirit within us to be with our Father. And so it's a good urging. It's not an urging we should ignore. It's not an urging that we should feel guilty about, but it's an urging that we should embrace and that we should respond to. It's an urging that, as the Spirit prompts us, to be those who are increasingly devoted to prayer. And devotion to prayer is something that we see at different points in the New Testament. In fact, when you look at the New Testament and you look at the number of times the word devoted or devotion is used, it is used about prayer many times. And in fact, it's more commonly used about prayer than it is about anything else. We see this in a few different places. In Acts chapter 1, at verse 14, it says, "All these with one accord," this is the apostles, "were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." You see, right from the moment that Jesus was ascended into heaven, God's people were devoting themselves to prayer. And of course, that devotion to prayer is not something that begins in the New Testament with the birth of the church. Devotion to prayer is seen, isn't it, right throughout the history of God's people, as God's people speak with their God. You see it right through the Psalms, don't you? What a rich heritage of prayer we come from. We see that we were devoted. And then we see in Acts chapter 6, when they set apart deacons, and in verse 4, they've appointed elders, and it says that these elders will devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You see, again, it's that devotion that comes from a place of prayer. Paul, when he's writing to the church in Rome, Romans 12, verse 12, says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And you say, Thomas, it doesn't say devoted in there. But actually, the word constant in the Greek is exactly the same word as devoted. It's just been translated differently. A perfectly justified reading and translation of that, in fact, probably more literal translation of that, is rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be devoted in prayer. It's exactly the same Greek word that's been used. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue. And that word continue is exactly the same word as was used in Romans and used in Acts for devoted. It could say, devote yourselves steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Devote yourself. This idea of being constant in prayer or continuing steadfastly in prayer comes from that idea of devoting ourselves to prayer. It's something that Jesus' followers are known for because it's something that Jesus himself was known for. How many times when we open up the pages of the Gospels and we read the accounts of Jesus' life, is there just a little glimpse into the life of Jesus when it says with almost like a little passing line, and he took himself off into a quiet place or to a desolate place that he might pray. And so often when we read through the Gospels, we look and we see the amazing works of Jesus and we see the amazing miracles of Jesus and we see these things and we are in wonder of them quite rightly. But we can skip over the little verse that reminds us that so often he was the one who went to the place of prayer again and again and again. And in fact, as we will see as we come to the Lord's table later on, prayer is not something that Jesus was just known for. But in fact, Jesus is still known for his prayer because he continues to intercede for us. So how do we think about these verses? Without beginning to put ourselves into that place of guilt, we see right at the very heart of our prayer and our prayers and our prayer lives is the knowledge of who it is that we pray to. Because you see, very often what can lie behind a weak prayer life is a problem with how we view God or how we view ourselves. Perhaps we haven't fully grasped how great and how able God is to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers. Perhaps one of the reasons we struggle to devote ourselves to prayer is because we haven't quite grasped how great God is and how able he is to respond to our cries to him. Or perhaps we haven't grasped how compassionate and how caring God is that he wants to answer us and he wants to hear from us. Perhaps we've got this view of God that, yes, he's great, but he doesn't care about me. Perhaps we've got this view of God that lacks compassion on his part. He doesn't want to hear from me. He doesn't want to know about my woes and my worries. But he does. He does. Or perhaps it's a view of ourselves that we've got wrong. Perhaps we have too much pride. That means we put the emphasis on ourselves to deal with every situation. And we're not willing to come before someone who is greater and bow the knee and say, "This is beyond me. Lord, help me." Or perhaps we have too low a view of ourselves. Not too low in the sense of humility, but perhaps we think so little of ourselves that we think, "God doesn't want to hear from me. He really just wants to hear from some of those super Christians, some of those other people whose Christian lives seem to be great. Doesn't want to hear from me." Perhaps we look at ourselves with such a low view that we think God has no care for me. I have no care for myself. Why would he have any care for me? We could go to so many places in Scripture. But I want to spend a few minutes looking at Daniel chapter 9. And it'll be up on the screen just at verses 18 and 19. I want you to hear the words of Daniel. He says, "O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name." And I want us just to see a couple of things here. This comes in the context of a people who are in exile. The city and the nation of God's people is in ruins. It looks terrible for the people of God. It looks terrible. And Daniel cries out in prayer. But notice that God is the one who hears and responds to us. Daniel cries out with great confidence and asks God to incline his ear and hear. He asks God to open his eyes and see all that's going on. Because you see, what we see is that we are the ones in crisis, not God. He is the one who is able to see all that is going on, but he is the one who is great and powerful over it. And Daniel comes to him, not because of, he says, our own righteousness. We don't present our pleas before you because of our righteousness. He says, it's not, "God, I'm not expecting you to listen to me because I'm so great." So when you're sitting there thinking, you know, "I am just such a hopeless Christian. And I just seem to struggle with sin at this turn and at that turn. And I just seem to be battling to even get myself into the place of prayer. And I just seem as if I just don't feel like a very good Christian at all." There is good news, because Daniel says we don't come before God based on our own righteousness. What is it that lies behind our ability to pray to God? Daniel says it is God's great mercy. Prayer and the ability to talk to our Heavenly Father is an act of great mercy that God has given to us. It's an act of great mercy that He has granted to us. It's not because we deserve it. But so often we feel as if we've got to come into the place of prayer with some kind of good deed in our pocket that says, look, God, I'm doing all right at the moment. You know, hear me. And it's not how we come in prayer. It's not how we come in prayer. It is not because of our righteousness, but because of God's great mercy. He is the one who hears, He is the one who pays attention, and He is the one who acts. All Daniel does is cry out. And I want you to see as well that God acts here because He is for His people. He is for His people. Daniel goes on and he says, Lord, hear us, pay attention to us, act, forgive us. Why? Well, he says two things. He says, for your sake, God, and for the sake of your people in your city that are called by your name. And we might think that these are two different things, but actually they are not. They are wrapped up all in the same. Because God is so for His people. God is so for His children that His very own name depends on His ability to hear His people and respond to His people and act for His people. His very name depends on it. His very reputation depends on it. Because He is our God. And if we cry out to Him and He cannot hear us, then there is no point calling Him our God. He is just like the idols of the Old Testament that are empty and worthless and deaf and unable to do anything. But the God of the Bible has a reputation of being the God who is for His people, the God who answers prayer, and the God who acts. We see it time and time again through Scripture. He is the one who hears. He is the one who acts. He is the one who does great things in response to His people's prayers. Why? Because His reputation depends on it. It's who He is. And so we don't go to Him because we feel guilty that we've not picked up the phone in a while, as the kids' song would say. No, we go to Him because His very character, His very nature, His very relationship with His people involves the great grace of prayer. He wants you to call out to Him. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to speak to Him, and He will answer because His reputation depends on it. And then what happens is we get all caught up with, you know, well, does that mean God will just give me everything? But actually, see if we are coming with prayers of faith. There's a sense in which we won't concern ourselves so much with what we are asking for. We will pour out what is on our hearts. And if we are coming with a prayer of faith, that faith will trust that our Father will give us what is good for us and what is right for us. Sometimes we don't ask for certain things because we are trying to, you know, work out ourselves. If God thinks this is God going to approve of this or not? When James comes and asks me for something, even if it's something I can't give him or I won't give him, I don't get cross that he asks me. And I'm a pathetic human father. How good is our Heavenly Father? The faith aspect of prayer is to bring it to God and trust that he will answer it as he sees right and as he sees is good for us. And you know, sometimes we can feel as if prayer is someone else's job. But in James chapter 5, and I had put this out earlier on in the week in the hope that maybe some folks might have a wee chance to look at it, because we're not going to spend ages there just now. But in James chapter 5, at the end, from verse 13 to 18, there's two different examples. And there's that example of sickness that's going on in somebody's life. So something that's physical. And there's the example of sin that's going on in someone's life, so spiritual. And in James 5:16, James tells us, whether it's a physical thing we're struggling with or whether it's a spiritual thing we're struggling with, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And he goes on and he gives the example of Elijah. You know how Elijah held the rain back through his prayers. And it tells us Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. But what Elijah did was he prayed fervently. You see, sometimes I think we can look, Christians, as though prayer is the job of other people. I'm struggling physically with something. I'm struggling with a situation in my life. I'm struggling spiritually with something. I'm battling a sin. I'm lacking boldness. I'm not sharing my faith. I'm struggling spiritually. What does it tell us to do? It tells us to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. That is all of us. All of us praying for one another. Praying on our own for one another, but also praying together for one another. Meeting together. Inviting two or three people around to your house for the purpose of praying together. You might have a cup of tea as well, but you know, for the purpose of praying together. Meeting in Hunter House with three or four people with the purpose of just praying together. Coming up and using this place through the week. There will always be a space, even if it's under the tree outside, there will always be a space around here. If somebody says, there's three or four of us would love to come up at such and such a time just to pray. Pray for one another and to pray with one another. And you know, there's great, great comfort for us when we think about our own prayer lives. Because we read these words in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Says that Jesus is able to save the uttermost, anyone who draws near to God through him, because he always lives to make intercession for them, to pray for them. Where is Jesus now? Where is he now? He is at the right hand of God the Father. And what is he doing? He is interceding. For who? For God's people. That is where he is, and that is what he is doing now. And what gives him the right the ability to do that. How can he intercede? Well, because he is the one who is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He is the one who does not need to come and offer sacrifices daily, because once and for all, he sacrificed himself. His body broken for you and for me. His blood shed for you and for me, that he might purchase our salvation, that he might forgive our sins, and that he might take his place at God's right hand, and that he might spend all of the days we have until his return interceding for us. And so we devote ourselves to prayer because we are Jesus' people. And it's what Jesus continues to do today. It's what he does for every one of us. And if you feel like your prayer life doesn't sound that great, and if you feel like your prayers sound a little bit weak in your ears, remember the one who is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. Not interested in how good you are or how good you sound, but because of his great mercy, because of his great mercy, has made a way for us to pray to him.